Lifeguard Blesses. We are in week three of just a four-part short series before we get into the main thing that we're going to be focusing on Your Life Counts, that I spoke of earlier. But just this short little series, just looking at our resources, looking at our finances in times that are challenging, times that are stretching us, times that that seem uncertain, and how we can tap into God's blessing on our lives, God's covenant to keep us and to bless us no matter what the circumstances. And so God gives us these principles that we've been looking at, these principles of stewardship. Remember, we kicked off with stewardship, the parable of the talents. Last week we looked at a principle of first, that God is first. God is never second. We don't give God the leftovers, we give God the first. And that's why the whole concept of offering is that we bring God first. The first, not the leftovers. Remember, we talked around that. And remember, that's why in Exodus 13, the lamb is sacrificed for the donkey. The lamb redeems the donkey. Remember, we looked at that, the principle of first. And so this morning, we want to pick up on that. We're going to wrap it up next week. That we are clear about what God has given us by way of a guideline to understand his blessing on our lives. Because in many things, God is always waiting for us, his word, he's waiting for us to take that step of faith. He's waiting for us to take that step of obedience. And in the area of our stewarding our resources and walking in God's blessing, God has set out principles in his word. He's told us what to do. You know, we've just come off a week of fasting and prayers. Often said, you can't fast your way into blessing. You can wail before the Lord, Lord, God has said, it doesn't matter how many times you're praying, I've given you the principles. When you apply the principles, as we'll see now, test me in this, says the Lord. So we're going to look at that this morning. And the heart for this morning is really that we are clear about what God has said. We just come to clarity. I know when churches teach on finances, there's all sorts of nonsense. One of these big, I saw in COVID, and I didn't fact check this, by the way, but it's not totally unsurprising. During the COVID times or whatever, one guy, one of these big televangelists, was making a big punt for a Learjet. And his reason was because he didn't want to travel on I was going to say public transport, but what you mean, airlines, because he could be contaminated by the demon of COVID. So he's punting all his supporters to contribute towards his Learjet. So we kind of hear this, and it nauseates us and all the rest. But at the end of the day, when we go back to the clear teaching of God's word, we find freedom and we know what to do. Amen? All right. So we're going to look this morning at just two passages. And I think they're actually parallel passages. They're not strictly, but you'll see the parallels between them. In the Old Testament, there's a clear passage in Malachi, which we probably all know and familiar with. There's a clear passage in the New Testament that deals directly with this, directly with that bringing of the first, stewarding our resource, bringing to the Lord what is the Lord's. And we're simply going to look at both of those and to see the parallels between them. So the first we're going to kick off is in Malachi chapter 3. Malachi chapter 3. Now God is speaking right at the end of the Old Testament times. The people of Israel are moving back now from captivity back to the promised land, back to Judah, Palestine. They were rebuilding the walls. Remember, we talked about Haggai. We did the series on Haggai last year. They were rebuilding the walls. They were rebuilding Jerusalem. And over the course of time, they neglected the rebuilding of the temple and started to just look after themselves. And so God comes and he speaks, firstly through the prophet Haggai, which we looked at end of last year. And then to Malachi, who comes a little after Haggai, but the same time frame. And this is what it says. Let's read together Malachi chapter 3, verse 8 to 12. Will a man rob God? Now this is God speaking to his people through the prophet Malachi. Will a man rob God? Yet you rob me. But you ask, how do we rob you, Lord? In tithes and offerings. You are under a curse, the whole nation of you, because you are robbing me. Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. This is what God says. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that you will not have room enough for it. I will prevent pests from devouring your crops, and the vines from your fields will not cast their fruit, says the Lord Almighty. Then all the nations will call you blessed, for yours will be a delightful land, says the Lord Almighty. So we've probably read that at some time or another. You might have even heard it in the teaching of tithing. Hopefully you haven't heard it when a church is needing more money, because it's actually not about that. It's actually not about that. It's actually about us first. It's about your heart. And the dynamic between a generous God and a people that he desires to be generous to and worshipers first and not stingy and so on. So firstly, let's just have a look at it. So God comes and he speaks through the prophets to go to the people and say, you are robbing me. And they're like mortified. How, Lord, are we robbing you? Now, earlier in Malachi, they were bringing defective animals to the sacrifice, which was also an embarrassing. It was insulting to God that they would, when they were supposed to bring the firstborn, a lamb without blemish, they were bringing broken, you know, wounded animals. You know, they were just offering what they felt like just to kind of appease their God. God comes and he says, you're robbing me. But now, robbing's quite a strong word. If I say that, Andre, you've robbed me, what would you think has happened? Andre has taken something that's mine, right? I haven't given it to him. He's taken something. It wasn't his. He took it. It wasn't his. It was mine. It belonged to me. And I accuse Andre of robbing me. You go, oh, okay. Andre shouldn't have taken stuff. It wasn't his, right? So God says, you're robbing me. What does he mean? And he tells them, by withholding the tithe, you're robbing me. It was God's. Here's what we've got to understand. It was God's. Remember, stewardship, all of it is the Lord's anyway. All of it is the Lord's. And so he says, the tithe actually belongs to me. It belongs to me. Earlier in the law, this is how it was phrased. Leviticus chapter 27, verse 30. This is how it is put in the law as to why the Israelites needed to then tithe. A tithe of everything from the land, whether grain from the soil or fruit from the trees, belongs to the Lord. And we go, okay, amen. Read on. It is holy to the Lord. In other words, that word holy, consecrated, it is devoted to him. It's not yours or mine to decide what we do with. However that lands with you is up to you. Me, I wouldn't like to touch what's not mine. Just saying. So it's holy to the Lord. It's devoted to the Lord. And then God says, he goes on and he wants them to understand what's happening. And he says, you are under a curse. You are under a curse. In Haggai, and Rob spoke of this, referred to this last week. In Haggai, so Haggai sometime earlier, God says, you plant in a lot, but you're only reaping a little. Have you made the connection? You are looking after yourselves. This is my sort of paraphrase of Haggai chapter 1. You're looking after yourself while my house lies in ruin. And so you plant your crops, but you're harvesting very little. Why? Because you're under a curse. I'm not blessing you. I'm not blessing you because you're not bringing what is mine. You're keeping it for yourself. I mean, it could not be more obvious. It could not be more. I know it hits hard. We like to think of it as our money. It's my stuff. I've worked for it. The tithe is holy to the Lord. Remember last week, so the lamb redeems the donkey. The first redeems the rest. But how do we know that? Because God said, when you bring it, what will I do? Test me in this, says the Lord. When you bring it into the store, when you bring the tithe to me, it belongs to him anyway. We're just bringing it to him. And yes, it is hard sometimes. The rising costs of living and it is our expression of faith and obedience in our God who has covenanted not only to provide for us, but to bless us and watch over us. Some of you might have remembered or you would have seen on social media this week the message that Vicky Stroud preached last year. It was 2021. It was still in the, just as things were sort of settling. We had the second kind of wave, third wave or whatever of COVID. And Vicky shared her testimony. And her testimony is this, and you can go read snippets of it this week, and will the other be posted this coming week, Megan? So it's part one and part two. Just some of the principles. All she shared was the principles. And the reason why I asked her to share was this. When we went into lockdown in March 2020, her business, a flourishing, profitable business, ground to an absolute halt. Her salary went from what she had to zero overnight. Her testimony, a year and a half later, was not one bill went unpaid. Not one bill. She had certain things that she trusted God for. They scaled back where they needed to. There were certain things they were trusting to hold on to certain staff and that kind of thing. All of that, God came through. Through the hardest of times, very few of us saw our income go from where it was to zero overnight, with no hope and prospects of you know, getting through this until the pandemic was over. You just go and listen. Oh, that was, you know. Why? Because it's real. This stuff actually works. It's not pie-in-the-sky stuff. It actually works. I wouldn't be preaching with a fire in my heart from like an academic, oh, I'm not too sure. I know like I know. Because I've seen God come through over and over and over in Kim and my story and our journey and so on. I've shared many of those stories with you. So God says, when you do that, I will bless you. That's the key to blessing. Not cry, oh, Lord, I don't know how I'm going to make it through the month. God said, I've given you my principles. I want to bless you. It could not be clearer. It's his heart. His heart. We've got to get it into our hearts, God's heart, to bless and to see us through. And because he goes on to say, I will rebuke, in the older translation, it's more accurately that it's the devourer. So obviously the devourer would mean like a locust or whatever. They would come and eat in their crops. But in a spiritual context, it would be anything that comes to rob us of blessing. So God not only blesses, but he also rebukes the devourer. So the enemy will come. The enemy will come and say, I see Trevor not walking in obedience. I see Trevor stingy, keeping all to himself. And he knows God can't bless that. I mean, he can if he wants to, but he's given us his principles to follow. And so he comes to devour because he has legal right to devour that. The first redeems the rest. I would like all my finances redeemed. I just would. That's the principle. That's the principle. All right, so that's Malachi. That's Malachi. It could not be clearer. The only thing is, we go, but that's old covenant. That's the law, isn't it? We're not under the law anymore. We're not under the law. We're under grace. You're right. So how does that apply? Does it just fall away? Does it just, you know, become redundant because now we are under the law? No longer under the law, we are under grace. The law has been fulfilled in Christ, but the principles remain. The principles, did God require obedience under the law as he requires obedience under grace? Of course he does. Did he require faith then as he requires faith now? Yes. Understand some of the stuff that was pertinent to Israel. But is there a principle here? Well, let me help you understand. Matthew 23, verse 23. Jesus is engaging with the Pharisees, and it was actually in the few chapters that lead up to his arrest and crucifixion and so on. Could you go back to 22? Sorry, verse 22, Vince. Verse 22 and 23, because then it will make sense. Verse 22 and verse 23 of Matthew 23. And so Jesus is kind of referencing the Pharisees here. And he said, everyone who swears by him swears by God's throne, and everyone who sits on it. Woe to you, teachers of the law, you hypocrites, to give a tenth of your spices. They gave their tithe of mint, dill, and cumin. But you have neglected the more important matters of the law, justice, mercy, and faithfulness. Now listen to what Jesus says. You should have practiced the latter without neglecting the former. What's Jesus saying? You should be adding justice, mercy to your repertoire, Pharisees, without neglecting the tenth that you bring. Jesus did not provoke the tithe. You need to understand that. We need to understand that. He said, no, it's done away with. Just focus on law, justice, and mercy. Those are the spiritual things of the new covenant. No. There were principles that still apply. Here's another thought. Is the new covenant superior to the old covenant? Answer is obvious. Yes. You can answer in church. It's not a rhetorical question. The answer is yes. The new covenant is superior to the old covenant. How do we know that? Well, under the old covenant, the blood of a physical lamb was enough. Under the new covenant, it was the blood of the Lamb, the Son of God. In a way, the new covenant is far more costlier than the old. So remember, the first redeems the rest. Jesus, the firstborn of many brothers. Remember? And then, remember when we go on in Exodus 13, and it says, when you come into the land of your inheritance, when you come into the land of your inheritance, and your children ask you, why do you do this? Why did little Lambert, the lamb, have to die for the horrible donkey who's sitting under the tree who doesn't want to do anything? We don't understand, Daddy. Why? And what was the answer? The clue's in the answer. What was the answer? You say to them, with a mighty hand, our God delivered us from the slavery of Egypt. That's why we give the first. It's not a matter of money first. It's a matter of the heart. I give because God gave it all for me. The new covenant is a costly covenant. The Son of God held nothing back to plead out that you and I may have life. The first redeemed the rest. Jesus, the firstborn among many brothers. He's the only son. Why is he the firstborn of many brothers? All of us, the donkeys, the unclean, who are redeemed. And so the new covenant being more superior. No, we're not under the law, but the principle still applies. How do we know that? Well, let's go to 2 Corinthians. Second passage you go look at very briefly. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. In 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and 9 is really like Malachi, probably the clearest teaching on sowing and giving in the New Testament as Malachi is in the Old, amongst others. And you'll see the parallels as we just go through this quite quickly here. So in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, let's read from verse 6. Remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. Generously will also reap generously. Each man should give what he has decided in his heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. As it is written, he has scattered his gifts to the poor, and his righteousness endures forever. Now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will also supply and increase your store of seed and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. You will be rich in every way so that you may be generous on every occasion, and through us, your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. All right. So let's look at a couple of things here. Firstly, Paul says, there's a principle. I want to remind you of a principle. You reap what you sow. If you sow sparingly, you will reap sparingly. Doesn't it sound a lot like what was happening under the old covenant? If you withhold from me, God says, what is mine, if you're not going to bring the tithe to the source, you're not going to reap. You're not going to reap the blessing. When you give to me generously with a good heart as an offering to the Lord, I will bless you. Test me in this and see. It's the same principle, just slightly worded, slightly different. Doesn't make sense. It's not like God's going left field now. That was right field, sorry. It's not like God is going left field to do something completely different in New Covenant. It's kind of the same heart, same principle. Then it goes on to what you have decided in your heart to give because God loves a cheerful giver. So, I have had somebody, sometimes as a pastor, most people are polite and nice, and so occasionally, to meet these people that are just brazen. Normally what the Bible, I think, calls scoffers. Scoffers. I remember one guy many years ago, he said to me, we were just talking, he said kind of sarcastic, well, very sarcastically, he said, the Bible says that God loves a cheerful giver, and I can only really give cheerfully a little. So that's what I give. A little. See, scoffer comes to your mind too, eh? You know what the Bible says about scoffers? But we reap what we sow. So here's what God says. The principle's there. The principle's there to guide us. The principle's there to guide us. No, we're not in the law. Could it be that the heart is this? Out of what we have received under the new covenant. Sons and daughters of the Most High God, redeemed by a sacrifice we could not make, or a price we could never pay ourselves. The Son of God dies in our stead. Would we want to not give as much as we can? Be generous as God was generous to us in Christ Jesus. There is no reference in the Bible to stinginess being a virtue at all. This isn't. You'll search in vain. It's not there. So, what do? You decide in your heart. Why? So you give more than you need. You're not limited by the tithe. You're not bound to that. But that serves as a guide to as much as I can sow to bless. With a cheerful heart to honor God. And then it goes on to say in verse 8 that God is able. He is able to do all those things. Let's read them together. Just to remind ourselves, God is able. He is able to make all grace abound to you, so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you get it, you will abound in all good works. Just, you know, you can't miss Paul as he's writing this. The God, your God, our God, is able to do this, to more than meet all your needs. If you get it, church, firstly, the Corinthians, 2,000 years later, to us. Doesn't it sound like Malachi? Test me in this, says the Lord, and see if I would be open. I'm willing to open the floodgates of heaven and pour out blessing on you. Does that mean you're going to win the lotto when you start tithing? No. It doesn't mean that. What it does mean is that what you do in putting God first is you bring the hand of the Lord and the blessing of God into your life and your resources. In fact, your whole life going forward. That is not to say that you wouldn't have times of testing like Vicky, you know, as we most of us went through, or just struggling. But wouldn't you want to know that God is navigating this with you and bringing blessing and order back into your life? Because he is able. That's the promise. But you have to sow first. You have to sow first. It's always on us to take the first step of faith. And then in verse 10 and 11, talks about him, he supplies seed to the sower and bread for food. Verse 11, you'll be made rich in every way so that you may be generous on every occasion. And through your generosity, will result in thanksgiving to God. Doesn't that sound like all the nations will be blessed? In fact, it goes on to talk about people in celebrate. Remember, blessed to be a blessing. Blessed to be a blessing. That's what Malachi is all about. That you, my people, Israel, you come into an understanding of the covenant that I can bless you, that all the nations of the earth would look with jealousy and envy at God. While they all go into their bowls in a drought, you know, crying out to their gods to send the rain. Ooh, wah, nice rain dance. The God, the true and living God, is providing rain for the crops of the Israelites. That was always God's heart, that the nations may know and come to him. It's the same in the church, that the Lord would look at the church and see the order in our stewardship before the Lord, the blessing that comes into our lives and say, something is different with you. We are blessed because of your generosity. You see the parallels? It's hard to miss. Same God, same heart, different covenants. Same principles apply. Right. How do we kind of pull it all together? Three things, three responses, if you like, in terms of a simple message. I would encourage you. I'm doing my very best to be accurate to the text. I know that there's some horrible teaching on finances and tithing and stuff. I know churches and pastors whip congregations to give more and more and more to the vision of the Lord and so on. We just don't do that here at Lighthouse because of our conviction. We teach the principles. We trust God. And that's what, that is our heart, just to present the principles. Go and meditate on Malachi 3. Go and meditate on Corinthians. It took me a while to get the heart of God, particularly in the Corinthians passage. When I was going through a hard, hard time many years ago as a student, hard, and Lord, where are you? If you hold on to God through the challenge, through the tough times, you trust in him, the faith that you have. See what happens. And if you're still wondering right now, look back on how far you've come. Has he dropped you yet? So, three responses, three categories, if you like. I don't like to, but just to. So some of you would be here today going, thank you, Trev, for the reminder. Thank you, Trev, for the reminder. Good stuff. I believe in this. I've seen God's hand on my blessing. Amen, amen. You're the ones that are smiling at me. You're the ones that through the message have been nodding affirmingly, smiling. Because you know why? Because you know it's true. You're living it. You're doing it. You know through good and bad, God is there. He has always looked after you. You've seen his hand of blessing. Because you're practicing it. Stuff really works. It's not pie in the sky stuff. It really works. There may be others of you that are saying, Trip, my heart is there. I just don't know how to afford to do it. I just don't know. I'm badly paying my bills. And my rising interest rates have put the squeeze on consumers, as we know. And so if I tithe, I'm not going to be able to pay all my bills. Now, I get that's real. I really do get that's real. When Kevin and I started this church, there was, for the 30 people that were here, there's no way we'd go have a full salary. Just no ways. Many of you've lived through it where God has been your supplier. You see, part of it is you do your part, God does his part. But there's another part. There's a supernatural provision that comes when we do our part. Every day in the wilderness, God provided manna. Every day. Supernaturally. Until such day as they entered into the promised land, they planted their own crops. It says, on that day, the manna ceased. Because now they could grow their own crops. And click into the principles of bringing God, bringing the offering to the Lord, and the Lord blessing them. So God is able to supernaturally provide. What I want to say to you is, you go before the Lord. If your heart is there to say, God, I want to, but I just don't know. Get help. And what I mean by that is, sit with somebody. Rob, Andrew Lindstrom, guys like Audrey in our church is our treasurer. We would hope that she can manage her finances. She does. And someone that could just sit down, like your financial advisor, and just help you. If you need to scale back on some things, you can do that to get into position where you can tithe first. And often, I was just taught when I was young, just you must tithe. But actually, the principle is to give it first. Now, what we do is we go, oh, if I've got left over, then I'll tithe. That's not what the Bible says. That's not how we do it. What we do, we bring it first, that the rest is redeemed. So if you have the faith, do it. See what God starts to do in your life. But sometimes we need help just in adjusting our finances. And listen, everybody struggles. Everybody from time to time has messed up. Everybody from time. Rob shared last week. He thinks back. He shouldn't have done, got involved in some of those partnerships and business, that kind of thing. We all make mistakes. We've all learned. It's not. But when we're humble enough to say, I need help. You can start to align things and to see. You just have to put your hand up. Just have to put your hand up. So, to the second group, you want to, but you're going, if I tithe, I don't know. You go before the Lord. Some of you might have the faith to go, you know what? I'm just going to do it and trust the Lord. Others of you might want to just start with 5%, try and work toward, that's between you and the Lord. There's no compulsion. Nobody's going to come in. If your heart is there, make room for God to come through for you. Because that's what he said. Last group. Last group would be maybe those among us. Maybe I've been preaching the series. Maybe when I started off, there's something in your heart that, oh, I don't like this talk about money. Maybe you've had an issue with tithing, giving, and so on. Could I suggest something to you? I don't think it's so much a money issue as it is a heart issue. See, this thing changed for me with Robert Morris when we do the Blessed Life. This whole thing of the Lamb of God given, like essentially God's tithe to redeem the rest. I don't give because the Bible tells me to give. And many of you that give probably have come to this place too. I give because the Son of God gave his life to purchase my salvation. I didn't deserve it. I was born in sin. He gave his life. Would I not want to? It's his anyway, just saying. But would I not want to, as expression of my gratitude to my God, who came to find me in my sin, saved me, and has covenanted to bless me. I don't think it's a money issue. It's a heart issue.